Hello, we're back. Attention Recession, episode 9.
Hello.
I'm Nicola. I'm here with Jazz.
Hello.
How's it going?
We're in gloom. It's gloomy LA, gloomy New York, gloomy energy. We're just
It's
under the
deep.
weather in many ways.
It's deep winter. I just don't, my expectations for myself are low, so I'm just meeting my own expectations.
Yeah, that's very real. That's very real.
And I'm like, oh my God, I went out to a restaurant last night for the first time it feels like in so long.
How is
And I felt so, it felt to me like going out after COVID. Like I felt so feral and weird.
Have you felt like you've been kind of recluse lately, or what caused this
Oh my
feeling?
God, yeah. I've been at home in like an unbelievably deep way. It's been
Yeah.
amazing. But I'm really indulging with it because I'm really like, this is winter. This is the season for it. Soon it will, like, I would not behave the way that I am right now if it was sunny. Like, I'm just really like being a total recluse and
Yeah.
hermit and enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, over here in LA, we've had so much like rain and gloom this season, and then we had like 4 days randomly of like 75 degrees. So my brain during that was like, I need to be outside in the sun, and if I even waste like 10 minutes being inside, because I knew the rain was about to come back, which it is now. I was like, so it felt very like that same energy, like getting out of the house for like 10 minutes and just going for it.
Yeah, we're supposed to get sun like this weekend, and then it's supposed to be sunny for like a while. So I think that will help, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just like living through it. I actually talked to my psychiatrist recently. Like I have to every 3 months, like do like a checkup, you know? And I was kind of like saying the same things to her where I was like, yeah, it's like seasonal depression, but like, you know, my mood's pretty good. Like I'm dealing with it, you know, I feel like I'm coping. Like I know I'm not like operating on 100%, but I'm not like,
Suffering.
totally. And she kind of was just like, but then she kept asking me all these follow-up questions.
She's like, it appears you've normalized not feeling good just because it's winter.
Totally. Yes, totally. She was like asking me all these follow-up questions because she's known me for a long time now. And it was
That's
so
great.
funny. And she was just like, you don't have to do it the hardest way, which I feel like as a Midwesterner is really like my big unlearning. I'm like, you don't have to do it the hardest way. What are you talking about?
You're like, I've actually never considered that I don't have to be in my Lana Del Rey summertime sadness, permanent depression all the time. You're telling me this
It's
is
more
not
just like,
my personality. This is like a something fixable.
or
Interesting.
like, yeah, you don't have to like, I don't know, like tough it out or whatever. But anyway,
Yeah,
so
that's always, yeah.
today, a couple of things. I feel like, as usual, I guess, as we always will be talking about, we're talking about social media. And two things today that I'm really excited to talk about. One is like a new bill that was proposed in New York that is specifically about addictive feeds and minors, which is interesting. And the other is like the linguistics of the influencer accent, which is just like one of those things that I was reading about and learning about and just being like, you know, when you just sort of intuitively like have known something and then someone puts
Yes.
words to it and you're like, yes, exactly. There it is. So I'm excited to get into it.
Hey guys. So today I'm going to be showing you my new shoes.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the future of English, maybe, so.
Which is really funny because, and it's funny because, yeah, the TikTok, TALK,
I love it.
is amazing. That's been there's this one influencer that has been blowing up. Her name is Dr. Natalia. She's not a doctor. She's like a random white girl in Miami, just being funny. And she blew up for making these like parody influencer videos with that same speech. And like, I feel like that deeply called to attention, like this way of speaking, because everyone's like, wow, that is really like exasperated and annoying. And it's funny because then so many, those started blowing up and then they started tagging influencers and it being like, OMG, it's this person. So now everyone's like hyper aware of it, which is really funny.
Yeah. It just, I don't know what, I always notice that like little kids talk like sitcoms and it bothers me. Right. Not all little kids, but you can tell like little kids who watch a lot of TV, who talk like Disney or talk like Modern Family or talk, and like
Cartoon
you can
tell Network that they're being, kids.
Yeah, they're being socialized watching. I mean, I guess now it's like different. Now they have, now it's this, but like, it always bothers me to hear kids being snarky in this very like written for TV by adults kind of way. And it's like, so
dude, it just
makes me
like
sad in this way where I'm like, oh, you're a kid. You should like not be like that yet.
I used to fully steal like punchlines from Michelle on Full House because I thought she was so funny. And as a kid, I'd be like, don't have to tell me twice, like literally.
Waiting for the applause.
Waiting for my laugh track never came. My mom's like, okay. But no, I mean, that's funny because like I feel like I was like raised on like TV. Like I loved my little shows and yeah, I feel like my brother and I watched like a lot of like TV and I feel like that's where I got a lot of my sense of humor from. So it is funny to like compare the two. I never thought of that before.
We were only allowed to watch 1 hour of cable a day and then we could watch unlimited PBS.
PBS.
And I feel like that's written all over my interests and personality.
Your whole vibe.
I was like listening to a podcast about, I don't know, like literally a war or something like that. And I texted my mom. I was like, it worked. All my interests have to do with collecting knowledge, I guess.
That's so funny. See, I don't think I had any like TV limits. I don't know why. I wish I could just go and see what my childhood was actually like. Because in my memories, I feel like I was like watching TV like a lot. Like,
so do I. And I'm like, how did I, was I just like, maybe getting around the restriction? I don't, or were my best memories just watching TV?
That's kind of how I feel too, because and like I could kind of like watch whatever. I remember SpongeBob got banned in my household because my parents like walked in and they were like saying something that like is adult humor, you know how they do that sometimes. And they're like, no more. And I was like, what? No more SpongeBob? But I'm like, actually SpongeBob is like brainworms and it still deeply has affected me to the humor from that. But we carry on.
I loved SpongeBob. I remember watching the SpongeBob premiere. It was on, I believe it was on after, it was like the, whatever the Nickelodeon like awards are that they have. And they had, and then I
Kids' Choice Awards?
I believe they premiered SpongeBob after that. I remember the fact, watching.
The fact that there was a world before SpongeBob just feels unreal.
I know, because it's been on for so long. It's crazy. So yeah, the way that kids talk. But
should we get into the TikTok of it all and then we can talk about
it? I kind of want to do that second because I feel like there's so much more to say. I kind of just want to talk about this bill quickly because it's just more quick. But yeah, so I think this was this week. Honestly, this we're not going to get deep into it, but like
us before New we York, get deep into it.
The New York governor and other lawmakers proposing two different bills about kids and phones, basically. And one of them is called the Stop Addictive Feeds Exploitation for Kids Act, Safe for Kids.
I love
that. That would prohibit minors from accessing what they're calling addicting feeds, which are,
I mean, they ate with that.
Because algorithms
call
that
it what
use
it is.
Personal data to show engaging content so users stay on the platform for as long as possible. So basically, if this were to pass, if you're under 18, your Instagram or TikTok or whatever would default be a chronological feed from users that you already follow, but parents could let them opt into quote addictive feeds.
Be like, okay, baby, it's your 16th birthday. You're gonna get on the addictive feeds now. Like, what?
You get your own For You page now.
It's just, I mean, it's so ridiculous, but so deeply necessary. Like, the kids are not okay. Like, I can't even imagine. Also, very funny side tangent. I recently rediscovered last night that I still have a lot of essays on my high school newspaper, because I was on the school newspaper. So I was like, let me see if these are like still up, and they are. And I wrote an article, which is so funny. All of these articles I could have easily written today, because it's just like funny to see that I'm like still the same person. But I wrote an article, 10 ways to be happy. And like one of them was managing your social media and like analyzing if that, like who you follow and comparing yourself. And this was in 2013. We like barely had Instagram. And I'm like, it's so funny that even then I'm like, limit screen time. Like, this is dangerous. And I'm like, wow, the way things have gotten so much worse is,
yeah,
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. The cause of this is recent research about mental health effects of kids and young adults, excessive social media use, including depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and self-harm. So I guess it's a it's kind of a public health measure, interestingly.
Yeah.
It's a public health measure by way of regulating tech.
Which I think is so necessary. Like, it really, it's funny too, because I do social media consulting and like helping people on how to, hashtag ad, on how to kind of like build a presence and like work with the algorithm and whatever. And like a huge thing I teach, I'm like, this algorithm is built to keep you online as long as possible. So the best way to like get a video to go viral is to keep someone's attention as long as possible. Because if you're the video that's responsible for someone getting bored and closing the app, like, they're not going to favor your videos. So it's just like so funny how it's, we're so aware that they are doing this to keep people online. But maybe people aren't aware to that extent. But yeah, I do worry about the brains of these kids. Because like, even I, a grown adult, has to set so many boundaries with myself to manage my dopamine and like not go on my phone all day. And I notice my mood is drastically worse if I am on my phone a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you're a kid that doesn't have like self-control.
Yeah.
And cyberbullying of it all. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Nightmare.
I know.
Pay me
I don't,
to go back.
Yeah. I don't know a ton like in depth about regulating tech and stuff, but I feel like my general impulse is that I'm pro it, because I think like tech is still like a or especially like social media is like is a pretty new thing to be released into the world, and it's just kind of been left to become whatever the heads of these businesses want it to be. And there's been really no kind of like structure or parameters or anything. So
yeah. And
I say pass it. I'll vote for it, I guess. I'm in New York. I'll vote for it.
Yeah. Because I think my view,
I don't know if I can vote for this, but
my view on the tech industry is that they are so money hungry. They will exploit everyone possible, and they will go as far as people let them. So if there isn't a bill that's regulating these things, like, it will be a free-for-all.
So
I think that is like really necessary that we start having more laws. Also, there was another law in Florida that was kind of restricting under 18 use for social media. I don't know if it was the addictive feed part of it. I like that this has like a very like good solution, like having a chronological feed of people they follow. So not like a For You page, but you can keep up with your friends. I don't know if that other one had that. It may just be trying to kick people off altogether. But I did see some backlash with that, because people were saying in Florida specifically, like, they're trying to prevent, you know, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, that is a lot more progressive, from being online and educating themselves. And like, you know, like, social media, while it is super annoying and toxic, but in so many ways, it has been a huge place for social change and like political movements and spaces to gather people and inform people. I think that's why like there's just so much more attention on a lot of big like world crisis and stuff like that, like we're seeing now. So if you remove children from that, I think it's just interesting that there's a lot of factors here. And so it seems like this New York act, like that does have a good intention. But I do, it will be interesting to see if like lawmakers are using this in a way that is like not what they say it is.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk about banning TikTok and stuff, but I just haven't followed that at all because I'm just like, I just think that I'm like, no, it's too powerful at this point. And the advertisers are too invested.
Yeah.
And money runs America. Values don't.
Exactly. So,
I was like, TikTok already won. Like, TikTok is a place where commerce is happening. So it already won.
And it's, you know? It's going even more in that direction. Like, honestly, my attention recession prediction, and I've talked to some of my other, like, TikTok friends about this. It's really going so downhill so quickly. And I sent this video to you, Nicola. Like,
yeah.
Everyone is kind of being like, the plot has been completely lost. Everything on this app is about selling. The community on here, like, people are kind of regurgitating the same things over and over again to go viral. It's just, like, not what it used to be. And for some reason, Instagram is kind of coming back. Like, a lot of us, our content is performing so much better on Instagram.
Interesting. And
I think creators will always go where their content will perform the best because, like, this stuff takes, like, time and energy to make. We're not going to want to do it and have it, like, get zero views, you know?
Yeah.
So that will be interesting if we see Instagram making, like, a little bit of a comeback.
What kind of stuff is performing on Instagram? Reels?
Reels, yeah. So, like, it's just interesting. Like, so I've seen this with at least like 4 or 5 of my friends. We'll post a video on TikTok. It'll get like a couple thousand views maybe. And then posting it on Reels, it'll get like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views on Reels. So it feels a lot more rewarding and you have the ability to grow a little bit faster. Yeah. It feels really hard to grow on TikTok these days. And I don't know. It is really interesting, too, because I do feel like Instagram always has been where it's more valuable to have more followers, you know? Like, you could be, like, famous on TikTok, but if no one follows you on Instagram, people don't see it as, like, legit. And TikTok has always felt kind of, like, underground in that way. I think maybe just brand recognition and, like, it feels like Instagram kind of still feels like your resume or your website or your portfolio, kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's been like on the mind lately.
Yeah. Wait, there's something you said I wanted to say something about. What was it? What did you just say? bullet points.
My bullet points were, I think TikTok is going out, Instagram's coming back in, creators are being rewarded more.
Are your friends who are seeing, no, I know what it was. I wonder if those views are inflated at all because of what Facebook did, Meta, parent company, whatever, did with video on Facebook, and then they were outed as like inflating views. So I wonder if they're doing that on Reels, because I wouldn't put it past them, you know. But doesn't, if it's boosting your overall presence and that's converting into whatever you need to convert to, whether that's followers or dollars or whatever you need it to be, that's fine, you know, but I wonder.
No, it does seem like it actually is converting. It's not just like views kind of going nowhere. A lot of people are seeing like a follower increase and
that's good.
More story views and more like, conversion onto, you know, their Substack or their book or like whatever.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I do feel like TikTok has a much better sense of community still, but mm-hmm. Instagram is better, I guess, maybe for work. I don't know.
I can't say I've really been using TikTok at all lately.
Yeah.
There was a while where I was like really kind of using it, and I could feel the way that it was like fucking with my brain. And it was, I felt like much more looks focused and consumery, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fuck this. And it's interesting. I have a lot of friends who just deleted the app and then just kind of like didn't go back to it. And not like all old people, old, but like a lot of like friends of different ages who just kind of are like, yeah, this isn't for me. Or like, are like a lot of this stuff floats to like elsewhere, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like I know a lot of friends that have had to set strict boundaries with themselves by just deleting the app, because otherwise they would be on it hours a day, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, if something's really viral, I'll see it on Reels. I think that's kind of maybe the general, like, okay, if there's something big, I won't miss it. It'll be on Reels in like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And it's also like, it's okay to miss it because it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
You're not going to be 90 years old, like caring about whatever happened in February on TikTok. Yeah,
exactly.
February 2024 on TikTok. But speaking of, okay, TikTok, T-A-L-K. So this linguistics professor, Christopher Strayoff, at Warwick University gave a lecture or gave an interview, but the New York Post and some other outlets picked it up, and it was on TikTok Talk, aka the influencer accent, which he says the key features are uptalk and vocal fry. And he explains that both of those techniques, so uptalk is like ending a sentence, like ending a declarative sentence, like my name is Nicola, but ending it on an up. So like, my name is Nicola. And vocal fry, which is like gravelly, like you draw out vowels. So both of those techniques signal I'm not done talking yet. So it makes perfect sense. It's perfect for video because you are drawing on so that it never quite, you're keeping people listening. Like, it's all about engagement.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of times I also think this could be attributed to like these influencers not actually knowing what they're going to say next, but knowing that they have to continue talking for like a minute, you know,
totally.
Like, yeah. Like, so it's slow. It's like drawn out. It's And so they're thinking of the next thing to say while they are talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he notes that like this voice, which I guess both of us probably do, and we're maybe even doing right now.
I definitely am probably guilty of all of these.
I mean, he says the voice itself isn't new, but TikTok has such a low barrier to entry that it has spawned significantly more creators, and many more of them are female than male, which is interesting to me and also like makes so much sense because women be talking and love putting themselves out there. But the result is that everyone sounds the same regardless of their actual accent or their actual tone, which reminded me so much of how all of the plastic surgery kind of has like become like a mask that everyone's wearing, where it doesn't kind of even matter what your eye shape or your cheekbones or anything or your accent was born with, you wind up affecting this like influencer accent, no matter if you're from the South or the Northeast or China.
Yeah. And I like, it's so funny because to me that really feels like people deeply want to fit in to go viral, because it's better to like, instead of coming on and being an individual and having unique thoughts and unique whatever, people are like, actually, I would rather blend in and just go viral like without people realizing. And then I'm just famous now because, you know, it feels kind of inconspicuous. Like, they're not trying to be seen yet they're trying to go viral, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I think it's subconscious, though. I think, well, what he says is that in almost all studies of language change, the innovators of language seem to be young women.
Yes.
Spread through use by young women. In general, the way young women use language is the future of the way language evolves. So any change we hear by young women is probably the future of English. And this immediately made me think of, there's a guy that works at the bodega near me, and I'm not sure where he's from, but he definitely didn't know any English when he first appeared at the bodega a couple of months ago. And he's obviously like learned basic like cashier English. And he speaks to me in this sing-song way that I realize he's mimicking me, because I'll be like, hi, or like, good night. And he'll be like, bye-bye to me. Like, he speaks to me in this way. He does English the way that I do English back to me. So he actually sounds super girly when he talks to me, but I don't think, and he's a pretty like macho looking dude. I don't think he recognizes that at all. And it immediately made me think of this, where I was like, I'm a young woman and I speak to him in this sing-song, polite, upspeak way. Yeah. And then he speaks it back to me because we have this rapport. I see him probably like 5 times a week, you know, not that we know each other's names or anything, but we have a whole, you know, dynamic going on.
I mean, it's funny too, because like someone's voice at checkout is very different. It's like the customer service voice. Like that is a very, so for him to be hearing that all day long, which is only such a small part of like the way we speak. Also, can I tell you the funniest thing that I've ever heard? So one of my good friends, Sienna Mirabella, she is an influencer. She's been a YouTuber for literally the last 10 years, and she's only 24. So she started when she was 14 and like has been making videos for a long time, like blew up on YouTube, became a little YouTube celeb. And she's going to hate me for talking about this, but I don't care. Love you. She recently, people have been posting some of her old videos on TikTok and being like, oh my God, the nostalgia. I used to love her videos, blah, blah, blah. Someone commented and they're like, yeah, I learned English by watching her videos and accidentally picked up her accent. And her accent, quote unquote, is literally like her being just kind of like influencer Valley girl, like speak. And I sent it to her. I'm like, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard, that someone has,
oh my God,
like learned English because of your videos and now they talk like you. That to me is
That's
crazy.
That's so funny. That's amazing.
I know. I'm obsessed with that for some reason.
I love that.
Yeah, because that is funny too. Like, especially, you know, them saying like women have always been the innovators of language. It does make sense because we are like speaking the most publicly in a lot of these forms that people probably would traditionally use to like learn language. So
I know. Yeah. I was thinking about that because I was trying to think, like, okay, in the Middle Ages, how would like young women, like young women start like talking this way? And then it's just like over time, because it said, okay, so on the BBC, it said, because I really went into this because I was so fascinated, it said several studies have suggested that men have historically lagged behind women by a whole generation when it comes to linguistic change. So yeah, this is why dads like never know slang, but moms might know slang, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, think about
it.
Dads
are like the doodly what? The hip, yeah.
Well, because think about it this way too. Like, if you think of kind of like a nuclear family, I do feel like, unless you have like a whole family of boys, I do feel like the culture is really run by the women of the family. Like the dad, for example, really is just kind of like experiencing everything, and the women are like having friends over, they're having like dinners together, and I feel like women do bring the culture together. So it does make sense that, because I feel like especially in America in the last like 100 years, like it really has revolved around this like nuclear family. So it's like that is who's keeping the culture going, maybe.
Yeah, that was very interesting to learn. So it's potential that we're all going to be vocal fry, upspeak TikTokers, but what he said in conclusion was TikTok is the evidence of the change that's happening because that's what we're seeing it. But the platform is not the cause. The women are the cause. It's not a bad thing. It's do women or do cause. It's not a bad thing. It's giving us new ways to use language to manage conversation and negotiate information sharing. So it's making the language better.
He's like, TikTok's not the problem. It's women. Don't worry.
No one said it's a problem. He's saying it's not a problem. It's neutral. I know. Yeah. But yeah, that tickled me.
I think the part that feels like the most insidious to me is like also what you have written here is that the UpTalk and Vocal Fry are also seen as sounding uncertain / lacking authority. Interesting that it's being persuasive for like clicks and sales, which is very true because there's a certain way of speaking that happens when you're trying to sell something online, sound enthusiastic, keep people listening. So I think that's the only part that sounds dark to me, that we're so deeply in capitalism that we've adopted a language that sells people things. And we don't even realize.
Well, that's not what I was saying by that.
That's like, I guess, what I have picked up from that, if that makes sense.
I think that UpTalk and Vocal Fry and the like, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting because, yeah, they are kind of thought to be like dumb, like bimbo-y, but yet we're talking about like obviously the most successful influencers. Like a huge part of being a successful influencer is driving conversion rates. So it's interesting that it's sort of like a voice that doesn't lack authority could maybe be attached to like a persona that would be persuasive enough to convert or whatever. But I think it's maybe because that's kind of like hot girl voice, you know?
Yes. And also this is a huge, I mean, we've seen this with influencer marketing in the last several years. People don't want an ad. They want someone to be sharing something organically that they actually like. So by having it sounding like dumbed down, it sounds like, oh, there's no way this is an ad because there's no like authoritative energy. There's no script. There's no, this is a great product because it's scientifically proven, blah, 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 whatever. Like,
that's true.
Every ad has to be so like inconspicuous. Like, this is also a funny example of marketing evolving with social media. Did you see the Michael Cera campaign?
No.
Okay, I can explain it to you then, so that's fun. So CeraVe obviously is like a like moisturizer. They're like the very classic, find them at Walgreens everywhere. They're very cheap but very good. I love this moisturizer very much. I found it to be the most hydrating. But anyway, they obviously, people always were like, you know, making jokes that CeraVe, Michael Cera, like Michael Cera's just like a random actor. Like he's very like awkward and funny. And like, obviously there's no correlation, but it's funny to think that there could be. So they did a campaign with Michael Cera where they had him and like, they're filming him in like a Walgreens, like writing Michael over like on the product. And so they turned that into the actual product. So then they shipped out a lot of PR packages to influencers with like Michael Cera written on it and like pictures of his face on the bottle and like whatever. But the whole, and I'm able to see this because of like, this is what I do for work, but they have instructed influencers to act confused. And so they wanted all the social posts to be like, oh my God, what's happening? This is so unhinged. I have to call my agent. Is this real? Like, and it's so funny because, I mean, obviously some influencers are better actors than others. Some people are filming it being like, what the fuck? Like, I'm dead. Like, what is this? Someone explain this to me. And other people are like, whoa, I'm confused. So I'm like, okay, so this is like, this is part of your contract is to act confused, which is a great marketing tactic because that's what generates like views and clicks, is like everyone coming together to be confused together and to talk about what's happening rather than it just being a sales pitch. But yeah, so marketing
that reminds me
is constantly changing. Yeah,
that reminds me of the thing that Charlie XCX posted about, like, the marketing ideas that she was sent for. I'm not sure what this is for, but it's like, it's so cringe. Silly. This one, my favorite, was Winona moment. Charlie gets caught shoplifting in a mall and leaks the CCTV footage. Position it carefully so we, quote, steal from a brand Charlie is planning on collaborating with later on. It's like, oh my God.
So for people that don't
Charlie
know.
Charlie for president.
Yeah.
Charlie announces she's running for office.
Charlie XCX posted an Instagram post with a notes app of marketing ideas that she sent over to her team to try to, like basically, like, PR stunts that she, like, wanted to do.
No, so they were sent to her. They're like, wait, I think she posted them because she thinks they're stupid.
I thought she wrote them.
No, some marketing ideas I was sent last week.
That's funny. And that's also a PR stunt in itself, which is just the funnel.
But yeah, there's really cringe. Full ball gown in middle of the tube. The bullet point. Mental breakdown and pouting.
Oh my God. I thought it was funny because I thought she wrote them and pitched them. Let me go
no.
to the post. That's
cool. Charlie leaks a sex tape. That's so weird.
Oh, she
That's
like
so weird that someone proposed that. No, it's on. It's.
Oh no, no.
It's the third.
Oh no,
picture.
She said swipe for some marketing idea. Oh, I was sent last week.
Yeah,
that is crazy. I read that wrong. I thought she sent.
Just That's why I was dying. I was like, oh my God, someone
That's
like
crazy
wrote like Winona moment. Like,
yuck.
I'm very happy to not be in marketing at the moment.
I know. It's so much. I feel so fatigued by
not
it
that
all.
I'm still deeply close to commerce at the moment, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel Escape. Sick of like the subtle manipulation of it all. I think that's what's difficult for me with marketing. Because marketing used to be fun advertising that, like, it's very obvious it's an ad, but you can have fun with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now marketing has turned into, like, let's be secret. Let's have a little
secret,
and little
it's like,
ad.
All has to be so, like, clever and, like, funny and, like, nah. And it's, like, it's too – I just want – I don't know. Yeah, it's, like, I feel like it's disrespectful. It's, like, just be an ad. Know that you're an ad. And, like, stop being like this.
Yeah. It's – and – you know, there's been a lot of talk. There's like FTC like regulations on having to disclose that everything is an ad, but so many companies have been not doing that. Like there's a company, like there's like a Bloom, like greens powder that goes in your drinks. And they started a big campaign where they would have influencers do product placement. So they would just pay them to use it in a video, but then not disclose that they're being paid for it. And there's just so many similar things where, like, everyone is really trying to completely get around paying people. I don't know. It's just, it's weird, like, disclosing that something is an ad because they want it to go naturally viral. I'm like, why don't you just have, like, a good product?
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? But I think the reason is because I don't think this is, like, so late stage capitalism, but we're not meant to have this many. Brands. There's
I know.
Too many brands. Like
There's
everyone, everyone that's anyone wants to start their own brand of something. And so everyone's trying to get this marketing space and like we just don't need this much. You know?
And then all of social media is just people selling and buying from each other. It's just like a marketplace.
I know.
of stuff, and then I don't know.
Yeah, but then so many of these things are also still owned by the same parent companies, and it's just like, oh my God, there was this big like map. It was like the illusion of choice, and it's like 100 of the most popular brands, and then you do like one slide over, it's highlighted who owns like all of those brands, and it comes down to like three parent companies over like 100.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Dude.
Monopolies.
Yeah. Yeah, the TikTok accent is interesting. I don't know how I feel about it, actually. I think it's, like, funny to me, but maybe now that it's actually him being like, this is going to be the way we talk, is like, uh-oh.
I wonder if there will be a rebellion of some kind, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do feel, I mean, we talked about this with our astrology episode, like, this Age of Aquarius. I do feel we're going to be pulled back into more educational and, like, intellectual content and conversations. So I do feel like that could be the rebellion. You know, like, Substack is now becoming increasingly popular. Hi, Ollie.
Sorry, what were we just on?
I was just saying the TikTok accent is funny to me, but them saying it's real life is concerning, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, and then also talking about how, you know, I do think that intellectual stuff is coming back. Substack is starting to get popular. People are, like, wanting something real a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah. I think so.
I'm sick of. I'm pretty sick of marketing. It's hard because that is my entire job and talent and career. But I feel fatigued by.
I know.
By it
I
all.
Wish an entire, like, at my. I, like, don't want to talk too much about my job, but we were just doing this exercise about, like, our expertise. So I was, like, really thinking about, like, my career a lot in a way that, like, I try not to think about it too much because it can really stress me out. But I'm just like, what if I just learn something all new? Like, what if I just dumped all this knowledge? I just learned something all new. I don't know. I'm constantly just like, I feel like I'm definitely going to be someone who has, like, a midlife change of, like,
yeah,
career or something like that. Cause I'm just like, I don't know.
I just think that's so healthy and great because I don't know. Like, we have, like, at most 100 years on this God green earth. Imagine if you spent all of that doing marketing. Like, that's, to me, feels really sad. Like, I think you should explore as many careers as possible and, like, just have fun. Like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So interesting, actually. I got a message from someone today who works within the school system that I graduated. And he was like, oh, yeah, like, if you ever wanted to get, like, your master's, they would probably pay you to get that. And I was like,
Whoa. What?
I don't know anything about that. I just opened this message this morning. But I was like, I've always kind of thought it would be fun to go back to school. But I'm like, wow, that would be such an interesting diversion. Just going back to the basics and just kind of. I don't know.
I'd love that. I would totally, like, I would not even, like, part-time work, part-time school. I would be fully just like, fuck it. I'm in school for 2 years. I'm racking up the debt. I'm living off credit cards. I don't give a fuck. I'll pay it back. Like,
did you see Girls, the season where Hannah goes and gets her master's in writing?
No.
It's just so funny. Girls constantly will always just, like, reflect life. So basically she's like, 25-ish, and she, like, none of her work is going well. She's not, like, a famous writer like she thought she would be. So she applies to the Idaho grad school program, which is, like, the best MFA, I think, in the country. And she's like, yeah. And so she makes, like, this big deal about leaving, and then she goes to grad school there and, like, hates it, but also, like, pretends to love it for a while. She's like, Idaho's awesome. We should all move here. Like, my rent is like $200, like, just trying to sell it. And then eventually, like, it's so over it. There's, like, she's in, like, school dynamics again and, like, arguing with her classmates. And then just, it's just, like, so funny. Like, I don't know. I do find it interesting the amount of people that, like, there is this trend of people saying that, like, going back to school is, like, midlife crisis.
It would be cool. It would be interesting to go back and be, like, in your late 30s, early 40s or something to get like an advanced degree and be around like the kind of kids who just went straight from their bachelor's.
Whoa,
and be
yeah.
like around a bunch of like 20 somethings.
Well, it's crazy because like I'm surprised that I was able to absorb as much as I did, because like an 18 to 22 year old like getting so much education while they're also like partying and experiencing the world for the first time, I'm like, that is not the environment to be learning. Like,
no,
I'm in the perfect environment to like read and absorb things like now, but like I can't believe I accomplished anything while I was like at a frat house like every weekend. Like, that's just not the time or the place. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, I've always like thought of it as like the big reset button. I'm like, I'll go to grad school when it's like I really just, my life has hit a real, you know, wall and I need to just really reset.
Yeah. What was your college experience like? Have we ever talked about this?
I don't know if we have. Well, my first semester, I went to SAIC in Chicago. It's an art school.
Oh, nice.
And I lived in a dorm. And my best friend went to a different school in Chicago. So I spent most of my time with her and her friends. And I left, and I only went to that school for one semester and I left. And then I kind of like went home, did like community college stuff, and then went to FIT for a summer program.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided to stay in New York and applied for college while I was in New York and went to FIT. But FIT is like, it's on 27th Street in Manhattan. It's like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a campus. It's like, and it's very, there's all different kinds of students because they offer so many different kinds of programs. So there's lots of people there for lots of different reasons. And so it's not like all 20, like you see people of lots of different ages, different backgrounds and stuff. And yeah, it's not really like, I don't know. It's like,
so you didn't get like a really college experience. No. Wow. No. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool, like, being thrown into the city. That's, like, what I feel like I wanted. I think when I was in high school, I, like, deeply romanticized, like, the girl boss culture. And, like, I just wanted to go to, like, the big city and whatever. But I ended up at, like, a state school. So I did get a very traditional college experience in that way. Like, I was in Greek life. It was a very California school. Like, our campus was, like, outdoors. It was very, like, palm trees and, like, yeah. Like, you would just, like, live with a bunch of, like, girls in a house and then drive to campus, go to your classes, like, say hi to cute boys and, like, go get a breakfast burrito on campus. And, like, it was very, like,
oh, yeah, college. We didn't have any boys because it was FIT.
Oh, my God. So there's no guys. So you had to just, like, go to the bars. But then maybe, like, you had to wait till you were 21 to do that, I'm guessing.
I had a boyfriend from like ages 18 to 25. So I wasn't looking or aware or like, I was not like even socialized. Like
your golden years.
Yeah.
Spent with a boyfriend.
Just completely like, I remember when we were when we broke up, and I remember like being on the subway and kind of like looking up and noticing men like looking at me. And I had never noticed men looking at me before because I never was looking for it.
Wow.
You know? And I just was like, whoa. Ugh.
It's so funny. In college, I wanted a boyfriend so bad. And I was trying to convert these, like, frat boy, like, idiots into, like, dating me. And obviously, like, it just never worked out. Or they're, like, guys that did want to date me and I, like, wasn't into them because I was also an avoidant as well. But then looking back, I'm like, why did I want a boyfriend in college? Like, that's crazy because I guess I envied the girls that did have like long-term relationships in college. And I'm like, you literally like either get married to that guy and spend the rest of your life with him, or like you break up and then you spent like your most experimental years like dating some dude. I don't know. I'm like, it's so funny.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I had been trying to like meet guys while I was going to FIT. Because I also like all my internships were fashion Tinder. Stuff. So it was all girls and gays. This was before Tinder though. This was 2010. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, I would have, I guess. Yeah. I guess like friends of friends and like.
Yeah. Parties and.
I don't know. Yeah.
That is so funny.
Oh yeah. Dating.
Did you have a party phase when you became single?
Yes. Oh my God. I got so fat. I got so fat.
All the alcohol and late night French fries.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And then eating up from reject. Like I would feel like rejection and then I would be like eating ice cream and stuff. Like
I'm binge dead. Eating. That's the or, like, female experience.
Foods. Yeah. And yeah, I was like so snatched when me and my boyfriend broke up. And then by the end of that year, I recently like looked up how much weight I gained in 1 year that year. And it was like amazing. But well,
you didn't get your freshman 15 in college. So it had to come eventually. Like I got mine in college for sure. Because, oh my God, the dining hall food at the time was like pizza, hot dogs, French fries. And this was pre-vegan. So, and drinking like 4 to 5 nights a week because college mm-hmm. was not okay. So yeah, I definitely came home a very different size.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when I became single, I became like, I was out and about. I was on, so I went on so many dates all the time. It was like my hobby.
What was
I remember drinking so many cocktails. That's like just drinking like cocktails.
Like sugary Cosmos.
Yes. Like old fashions and stuff, like just drinking that like all the time, like that was like a normal like thing, like to drink that like it was glasses of wine. Because
that's so funny. What was it like to be like single and dating in New York at the time, especially like without dating apps, or maybe it was starting to enter the scene? But like,
I had dating because I became single in like 2014, so it was like peak Tinder.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And I was not prepared for it at all because I had like a loving boyfriend before that. And then I had so much rejection and I had never like, man, I just did not know. I've never been treated like that before. And it totally shook my confidence. And like, yeah, it really fucked with me because I was like, wait, I had someone who loved me. What the fuck did I do? Oops.
I know.
And then
well,
it took
that's
me 7 years to find someone else. So.
That's how I felt entering college. I had like a high school sweetheart in high school, obviously. And then, yeah, I came to college and I always thought I was like cute. I thought I was fine, you know, whatever. Like I never thought about it because, again, I was in like a loving relationship and like, you know, I actually did think I was like pretty decent. I think in high school, I didn't have too much of confidence issues from what I recall, other than just like the perpetual desire to be like as skinny as possible that. Mm-hmm. We all were indoctrinated into, but yeah, then going to college and being surrounded by like Southern California girls that were like native, like San Diego, LA girls that like they just did it different. Like I was in like a little like mountain town in Northern California where everyone wore like North Face and like Lululemons, and like here it's like the bleach blonde hair, the crop tops, the torso showing, and like I felt like a baby entering college. And so my freshman year, like none of the boys that I liked me at all. They all like wanted my hot roommate, and like I just like that hit my confidence so bad. So then I was like trying to get validation from these like loser guys who still treated me like shit, and I was like, it is so rough out here.
Not good. Oops, mistakes were made. And mistakes were made. But
I do feel like that's a part of kind of the female experience. Like, I think I have friends that didn't go to college and they ended up having to have that same experience, like in the real world, kind of like you did. And I'm like, oh, maybe everyone just like has to go through that gross period. I feel
I feel like it happens to people even like with divorce, you know, and like they become single for the first time and then they're like, why do people act like this? And I feel like, I don't know, it seems like, I don't know, I'm glad to be out of the pool right now.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in the mix.
I heard this funny, I think it was like a tweet or like TikTok or something that was like, girls will get out of a long-term relationship and end up grieving like the 3-week situationship that they had like for longer than the actual relationship itself. And I'm like, that's so funny. Cause like,
oh my God.
Yeah. You process that long relationship, but then it's like that first guy that like rejects you after that, that like you never get over. Like,
I know. I just, yeah, I feel like I just imagine myself feeling like so cocky, like going back on the apps and then immediately just being like disappointed and just being like, oh, this again, like all of this, just like the people you hope you're going to meet, the people you think you're talking to, you look closer to your profile, at their profile, you realize who you're talking to and you're like, oh, that's not who I want to be talking to. And
yeah. And you're also just like so earnest because you don't know like the dating rules. You'll be like, oh, like, why didn't you call me back? Like, let's go on another date. And you can't tell that this person has no fucking interest in you at all.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Like, come over. And they're like clearly trying to ghost you, but you just, you don't know. Like, you haven't learned like the patterns yet of like dating, you know?
I just remembered a friend telling me at the beginning of my becoming single, she was like, I know you're going to want to put all your cards on the table, but she's like, there is a game.
Yeah.
She's like, I know it sucks, but there is a game. And you do have to be play
coached.
It.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but the right person, you don't have to play a game, which is true. With the right person, you don't have to play a game, but with everyone else, you do.
You just have to, like, know, like, you have to know, okay, I'm having a lot of brain blast right now. It's not like you don't have to play games with the right person, but you also, I think, you meet them on the journey of, like, I think part of playing games is like understanding the social cues, understanding your own worth, and understanding what you will and will not accept, you know? Because like part of the game, it's like, oh, like don't text them back immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can be a game, but that can also be like, hey, like you were in the middle of a task. Don't drop everything to text this person back.
Oh, yeah. True.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like learning to like, that self-confidence in yourself, and I do think that aids that final like relationship that you do get in, you know.
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah And it is true, like I don't feel like I found someone good until I was like in a certain mental state with myself, you know. Unfortunately, yeah. That is true. You're just not, or I just think like, because people would always say like, oh, you're not going to attract anyone until you're your best version of yourself. And I was like, that's bullshit. There's like pieces of shit who are in love all the time. But I think what it is what I realized is like, you're going to attract kind of exactly what you are. So whatever you are putting into your life, you're going to attract people who are putting about the same effort into their life.
Yes. 100%.
If you want to attract like a certain kind of person, then you better be putting in a certain kind of work into your life. Because that's going to, I don't know. That's a little bit like female dating strategy mindset, but it's true. It's a little like high value, but it's true. Like if you are taking care of yourself, you have interests, you have passion projects, like you're going to have like something about you that's going to make you attractive to people who also have those things going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, someone that has their shit together wants someone that also has their shit together. Like,
yeah.
I did like a journal exercise maybe like three or four years ago when I was like in LA, like in the trenches of dating. And I wrote out like all the things I like look for in a partner. And I look back at that list and I was like, damn, not only one, do I wish this for myself, but two, I don't even know if I have any of these qualities that I'm like asking of someone else. Like, I better like get to work here. I better like,
you know,
go
what?
To therapy, work on my passions, like, you know, because I was like, this person, oh wait, no, I just remember the journal exercise was writing out that person, right? This is actually a good exercise if you're single. I still believe that you have this list of this person that you're trying to attract. Now write out their dream person.
Whoa.
And then you can look at that list and be like, do I possess these qualities that I'm trying to have? Like, this person is maybe self-assured. This person is really passionate about their dreams. This person is a good communicator. Like, it's so, it was like such a good mental exercise. So I highly recommend if anyone, that everyone does it, honestly. It's like a great way to keep yourself in check, you know?
I think I really like would pick people who, or I would really like fixate and have crushes on people who it's really that I want. There was parts of them that I wanted to embody in myself. And it was almost more like when I think about them now, I think about, I'm not even like, oh yeah, sexy, I miss him or anything like that. It's more just, I'm like, I can see it so clearly now. I'm like, oh yeah, he was so cool. I loved that he did XYZ, or like, he was so funny and I love that he, like, you know, did this. Like, all of them, it's like, I love that they made something. You know what I mean? Like, I love that they were like expressing whatever it was. And like, or whatever about them was like attractive to me was something that I was seeing in myself, which actually, anyway, another topic for another day. But I think a lot of times when we're attracted to people, it's because they have qualities that we either see in ourselves that are repressed or that we want to amplify in ourselves, or like something that we want to keep, we want to grab and like keep for ourselves.
Yeah. God, also, I meant to touch on this, but like it kind of got away from me. Like, they're speaking of dating, TikTok is like ruining the brains of so many women. They are turning into like dating optimizers and like wanting the values are all fucked up. Like, I don't know. Like, they're putting the desire to go viral above their in-person connections. Like, they'll like vlog a date in the very beginning because they want to go viral. And like, I'm like, there's no way that doesn't impact the actual relationship you're having with this person. Or that's, they're like,
such
scrutinizing their relationships based on social media trends. Like, there's all of these different trends. Like, oh, if your boyfriend does this, he doesn't love you. And like, I just, it's such a scary time to be like online as a woman. Like, there's just so much fucked up dating advice. And I even remember around this time last year, I went viral for like a week with like a bunch of videos giving dating advice, being like, stop trying to like get showered with like everything that you want from someone on the first date, because if they're doing that, they're probably not for real. They're probably like love bombing you, or they're like no one normal is gonna like show up to a first date and like do all of these crazy things for you if he doesn't even know you. Like, you should not expect that, and like, that's okay. Like, focus on friendship, focus on, do I actually like this person, get to know them over a long period of time, and like, that is the true way to like find a partner, you know. It's so funny how those, and I made videos about like healthy communication, like how to talk to your situationship, and like, actually it's like not playing a game, it's just like asking them like, hey, like, what are you looking for? Because 9 times out of 10 this person will tell you. But like, most of the advice on TikTok is so, it feels like Sex in the City in a way, where it's like the blind leading the blind kind of energy, you know. It's like, I think the women are just trying to bond with each other and like using dating. I don't know. I have so many thoughts on it. I'm just like so like upset for women, to be honest.
I get like when I am on TikTok a bit, I'll get some of that in my feed. These women don't look authoritative to me. Like, like what we were talking about earlier, like authoritative. I'm just like, I'm not listening to you. What do you know? You know?
Because I guess they're promoting games, you know?
I have a friend who's like, literally talking about this in therapy, like the TikToks about, and she's doing like exposure therapy of like these TikToks that are like brainwashing her.
Yes.
Not brainwashing, but like that are, you know, negative communicating all of this. Yeah. Like if he isn't doing this, and she's noticing herself weighing her relationships because she's in a couple of like open.
Yeah.
Or like not whatever. She's in a couple of relationships and she's noticing herself like getting all like hissy with the men like in her head. And then she's like, oh my God, what am I like?
Yeah.
Nothing is wrong. Like calming down about it. And yeah, having to do like exposure therapy basically.
Because it preys on people who already have like an anxious attachment. And I will be like sitting here in like a healthy, happy relationship, and I will see a video that like triggers me in the exact perfect way of like, you know, it's just like, it's giving you insecurities that you didn't already have. I think that's what the problem is. Like, they're not people who are like looking to help with insecurities and overcome them. They're like, hey, have you ever thought that like when he says goodnight to you at night, he's actually going and doing this? It's like, no, I actually never thought about that, actually. Like, it's just like they're planting all of these things because they know it's going to go viral and they care about their own social media success. They don't actually care about these female experiences. And yeah, I'm not surprised that there's therapy conversations about this, because I've talked about it too in therapy. It's like, it's so hard to ignore it. I also feel like, and this is something I wanted to like talk about more in depth, but I do feel like a lot of this, these conversations are also women trying to establish a social hierarchy amongst each other. Mm-hmm. Women are trying to be at the top of a social status among women. You are like the one that doesn't give a fuck, the one that is getting showered with presents from men, that like, you know what I mean? And so I feel like I see this a lot with women. I don't know, like if a woman is maybe accepting less, quote unquote, in a relationship, the comments be like, wow, my man would never, he like worships me. And so I feel like it's turned into this like competition where women are trying to be seen by other women as valuable because of the men that they're with and like the treatment that they accept.
Yeah.
And so when something negative happens, like we see like a, like the Simone Biles situation. Did you hear about that? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we know Simone Biles, like the most famous gymnast in the world. God, I can't believe we didn't talk about this when it happened. This was like a month ago. Her husband, who's like this like pretty boy NFL player who's like apparently not even good, he like barely plays, went on a podcast being like, yeah, like we met on Raya, like I didn't even know who she was, like she was chasing me, like I'm the prize. And everyone was like, oh my God, like your wife is the most decorated gymnast of all time and like you're acting this way, like that's insane. And so obviously that is like cause for people to be concerned, being like, you know, she deserves someone who sees her as the prize, obviously, like we all do. But I think what happened is that people, so that took over TikTok for like a week. And I feel like it turns into this like respect thing. Like people give and lose respect for certain women based off the way that their men behave. So I now feel like women are hyper paranoid about how their men behave because they don't want to lose social status with their women peers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, I think being in a partnership, like you always like, yeah, your partner, their actions in part like affect you.
Yeah. And I feel like this is, it's a lot more of an online thing than like an in-person thing. Like there is like a weird online community of people trying to show all the amazing things their boyfriend is doing. And I don't know. It's like a very strange thing. And I think, again, that's why I'm like getting so over TikTok. It's like not, it's so far from real life. Like it's its own thing now. And I'm like, can't do it.
Would you ever consider taking like a period of time away from it?
If I would, if it wasn't like my whole job, you know, I think what that's about a weekend? Hard. I could do a weekend, yeah, but it's, yeah, I could probably try a weekend, but it is tough. Like, it does require me to be online. I mean, I try to take my weekends, like, since posting for work starts on Mondays, I take Sunday to, like, work and, like, make videos and stuff, but I try to take Friday off. So, yeah, I could probably take, like, the weekend off. That might be a good idea. But, yeah, I would like to just, like, be able to disconnect. See what it
does to your brain.
I think,
and then you can make content out of that.
I think my main problem is feeling like I have to be tapped into the culture of it. And so I think a short-term break will only make me more frustrated when I come back into it, if that makes sense. Like, I would like to, like, not have to be tapped into the, like, subculture of it all. I think that is what would make me feel better. And I think that comes from, like, a lot of career changes that I don't know if I'm, like, ready to make right now, but I do feel are probably inevitable. So, yeah, that's kind of my mental dilemma.
I think you should still try it. I think that if you give it 48 hours, you can catch up. I think it'll be okay. All right. I've got to go.
Thank you guys. Thank you all for listening.
Let us know what you want to hear more of. And
yeah, rate us. Rate,
follow,
rate
the pod, share. Not us. Yeah, please don't rate me. and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.